Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Looking at the book of Revelation, it is just amazing how many things are happening in this world. And I'll share some things with you. I think the Lord is just trying to give us a small picture of what is coming in the tribulation period, just hoping that people will wake up and receive the Lord while there is time. Revelation chapter 1. And Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. Revelation 1, 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins, in his own blood. Well, this morning, number one, we're looking at Jesus Christ. He is the eternal one. Jesus Christ, he is the eternal one. Verse 4, he's the one which is and which was and which is to come. You know, there are many false Christs today, false prophets. If you hold your place here, turn to me, please, to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. We're reminded there are many deceivers out there. Matthew 24 and verse 24. The Bible says, for there shall arise what? False Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So, you know, Satan has the power to do signs and wonders. If you turn with me, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So we've got to be in the Bible. Our authority cannot be signs and wonders because the Antichrist is going to use it to deceive people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9. Even him who's coming is after the working of who? Satan. With all what?
Power and signs
and lying wonders. So our authority cannot be the so-called miraculous that may happen. Our authority must be the Word of God. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That reminds me of Luke chapter 16, the rich man in hell. Luke chapter 16, this man was concerned when he realized he could not personally get out of hell. Then his concern to turn to his brothers. In Luke 16, 27, Luke 16, 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him, referring to Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Now, at this time, Moses and the prophets were not still upon earth. They had passed away. Moses and the prophets were with the Lord. He's referring to here the scriptures. God used Moses and the prophet to write down his word. So he's telling this man, listen, Lazarus can't go back, but your brothers have the word of God. Verse 30. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from where? The dead, they will what?
Repent.
And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, so the scripture, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. But we are living in a day where people are seeking signs and wonders. That is exactly how the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, with signs and wonders, and he's going to deceive people. So our authority must be the Word of God. Notice with me in Isaiah, book of Isaiah, and chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. What is our authority? What leads us and guides us through life? Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to what?
This word.
It is because there is what?
No light in them.
So verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. What is our testimony? Well, our testimony often is what has happened to us, like our testimony for Christ is how we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who brought the gospel to us, what was taking place in our lives. But many times testimonies, to a great extent, are filled with experiences. And they might not be bad experiences, but just what God has done in our lives. But we cannot base our lives on someone else's experience. It says there, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, the Bible, it is because there is no light in them. People may have all kinds of experiences. And sometimes experiences that we cannot necessarily answer. But if their testimony, if their experiences do not match up to what the Bible says, then their experience is not from God. It might just have been a dream or a nightmare, I don't know. But the Bible must be our authority. So that's how we discern who is true and who is false. Notice in 2 John verse 7. So how do we know who a false Christ, who an antichrist is? When someone comes along, how do we know? Well, 2 John in verse 7. The Bible says, for many what?
Deceivers.
So many deceivers are entered into the world. Who confess not that Jesus Christ is what?
Come in the flesh.
This is a what?
Deceiver
and what?
Antichrist.
So anyone who does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now, what does that mean? Now, we're not just talking about a person here, but we're talking about God in the flesh. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 1. So for this would be people who do not confess that Jesus is God. God in the flesh. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Matthew 1:23. The Bible says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. The Messiah is God with us. So anyone who does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that God Almighty has come in the flesh, that is a deceiver. And that one is an antichrist. Notice in John chapter 1. So we're looking at the point that Jesus Christ is eternal. The real Jesus Christ is eternal. And we're not talking about someone with a Spanish name of Jesus. It might be spelled Jesus, but that's not the Messiah. It's not the Savior. Notice in John 1:14. And the Word was what?
Made flesh
and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Well, what was his glory like? The glory is of the only begotten of who? The Father, full of grace and truth. And if you back up to verse 1, who is this word? Well, it tells us there, but verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. Verse 2 shows us He's eternal. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3 shows us this Word is the Creator. Remember what Genesis 1:1 says? In the beginning, what? God created the heaven and the earth. Well, what does it say in verse 3? All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus, the Word, is eternal. He was in the beginning with God. He is the Creator. So if anyone comes along and doesn't confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, that God Almighty has come in the flesh, that person is a deceiver and an antichrist. So Jesus is eternal. And then as we read on here, He is life. Notice in John 1 here in verse 4. John 1:4. In Him, so in Jesus, was life. And the life was what?
Light of men.
The light of men. Have you ever had someone say to you, and I suppose this is a dated phrase, I don't know, maybe some people use it today still, but they used to say, come on, get a life. Have you ever had someone say that to you? Ah, get a life. Well, if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a life. You have eternal life is what you have. And you have real life here, something that satisfies. Only the life that Christ can give gives you real life and light. Verse 4, in Him was life. And this life in Christ is the light of men. The sun just is shining back there right now. How beautiful to see that. Pray for the Shoals. On Tuesday, they're not going to see the sun again over the horizon until January 12th. This week, I was somewhere, I think it was at the post office, and there was a very expensive car ahead of me. And an elderly, white-haired man got out of that car, and he struggled just to get out of it. And then he struggled just to walk and to make his way into the post office. And I'm thinking, he has got this very, very expensive car. And I'm thinking, sir, what good does that very expensive car do you? You can hardly even get in and out of it anymore. You can hardly walk. There's coming a day really soon when you are not going to be driving that car, which is very expensive. And it just made me think of life. Is that really life, being surrounded by expensive, valuable things? No, that doesn't make people happy. You know, that car, which is so expensive, cannot bring back his youth. It can't do it. That car, which is so expensive, cannot help him walk again or even walk easily. It's a struggle for him to walk. That car, that transportation, cannot take him to heaven, even though it's so expensive. That car can't get him to heaven. And it just made me realize the futility of this life and material things. Life goes by so fast. My wife and I was talking about geriatric things this morning. I'm not sure how that conversation got started, but all I know is that life goes by really fast. Okay, so if you're young, just serve the Lord because old age comes. But the older you get, you'll see, you know, material things, surrounding our lives with material things does not give us real life. It doesn't. It just actually makes us more spoiled and think we need more things. And then it actually, what it does is waste our money, because then we think, well, if I buy something else, that'll make me happy. Or if I buy something else, that will fulfill me. And it never will. Never will. Notice in Luke 12. Luke chapter 12. And verse 15. Luke 12:15. The Bible says in Luke 12:15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of what?
Covetousness.
For a man's what?
Life.
A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of what?
The things
which he possesseth. That is not life. You know, someone says, oh, I'll get a life. Well, if I get a life, it's only in Christ Jesus, because anything else on this earth, we're going to leave it all behind. Notice in 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. The Lord has given us 6 children, and all of them came into this world with nothing. And that's what the Bible tells us. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. 1 Timothy 6, 7. For we brought what?
Nothing.
Nothing into this world. And it is what?
Certain
we can what?
Carry nothing out.
All of our children came into this world with nothing. All of us are going to leave with nothing. Other than what we lay up in heaven, then... notice with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. So the more we try to find purpose in life through things, we're just going to waste more time, we're going to waste more money, and we're just going to be more and more frustrated in the end. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 5:10. The Bible says, he that loveth silver shall what?
Not
be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. So, and when a person rejects Jesus Christ as the life, then they're rejecting light. And notice in John chapter 3, and many people are that way. We were at a door yesterday, and we walked up to it, and it had a welcome mat. And on the welcome mat, it says, welcome. I hope you brought beer. And so when the man came to the door and said, looked at us and said, I'm not interested or something, it didn't surprise me because of his doormat. His reaction didn't surprise me. But you know what? To have a real life is not to drink alcohol. That doesn't bring life. If you can read Proverbs 23, we don't have time this morning, but Proverbs 23 will tell you it's woe, it's sorrow, it's contention, it's getting sick, it's saying things you wish you wouldn't have said, it's lusting after people. That's the life of alcohol. Yeah, that's not life. But here in John chapter 3 and verse 16, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what?
Everlasting life.
I'll tell you, that is getting life right there. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men what?
Love darkness
rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil what? Hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So, you know, when a person rejects Jesus Christ, there's just no depth, there's no end to sin. It just gets more and more vile, more and more wicked. And it ends up in the darkness. Notice in Psalm 49, Psalm chapter 49, there is no depth. You know, sometimes people say of lost sinners and what they do and ungodly nations, what they do. People say, I just don't understand what's wrong with them. Well, what's wrong with them is they've rejected Jesus Christ. And so their lives are filled with darkness, evil, vile things. In Psalm 49:19, the Bible says, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall what?
Never see light.
Never see light. You know, that's one of the plagues that was brought upon Pharaoh, that he asked for relief. That was one of the things he couldn't stand, was that darkness. But that's what hell is like for all of eternity. Notice in Jude, verse 13. Jude, verse 13. Thinking of when we reject Christ, the life, the light, all there is darkness ahead for that person. In Jude, verse 13, the Bible says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved what? The blackness of darkness forever. Imagine that. Never seen light again. The blackness of darkness forever. And then 2 Peter chapter 2. Rejecting Jesus Christ is rejecting the light of life and light for eternity. 2 Peter 2:17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Well, you might say, well, it says the mist of darkness, then maybe it's just going to be dim in hell. No, that same terminology is used in Acts 13. Let's see, what did it mean in this other passage, Acts 13, and beginning in verse 9. Acts 13, beginning in verse 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be what?
Blind,
not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him what?
A mist
and a darkness. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. So when it says the mist of darkness is reserved forever in this passage here, that's not like just things being dim. It's describing someone being blind, not being able to see. So Jesus Christ is the eternal one. Then back in the book of Revelation, Revelation 1:5, Jesus Christ is the faithful one. Verse 4, he's the eternal one. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Who is a faithful witness today? Well, it's certainly not the news media. I never dreamed that I would see this day in America. When I was a boy, news media in America would dig up everything they could trying to find out the truth. And, I mean, they just went to extremes, but now they're mimicking. When I was a boy, news media in the Soviet Union and in China were just what you'd call state-run media. They would just say what the government wanted them to say, or they would be put to death. There's no questions. But I've watched the news media in America come to that same point. They're just like puppets of someone higher. And it's not just in America. I mean, this is around the world. And this is why I think this is one more example that God is giving the world of what the tribulation period is going to be like, so they better get saved. Because where are you going to find the truth? I mean, even the giant internet companies are clamping down. They won't really let the truth many times be told. They shut it down. I just saw a video this week, I showed it, of some people in Australia, the native tribes that were there in Australia. And so they're doing this video, and they have members of all their different native tribes there in the video, and one man is speaking, and he's saying, the video is a plea to the world to help them. He just cries out over and over for the world, please help us. In Australia, the government is forcing us to get this vaccination. And he just carries on and on about they are trying to wipe out us, the native tribes of Australia. They're putting that upon us. They're trying to wipe us out. And he's pleading for the world, please help us. Well, it's sadly, it's not just the Australian government. That same attitude is around the world right now, whether it's Europe or many people right here in our country would like to force that upon us. It's a worldwide thing. Canada, wherever you want to go, they're trying to force the same thing. And so he's crying out to the world because he thinks it's just the Australian government that's trying to kill them. It's much bigger than the Australian Prime Minister. This is being orchestrated by Satan. You know, I just read on Thursday, they announced that there's a new strain of COVID. I found it interesting. They call it Omicron. They're following the letters of the Greek alphabet. But they skipped two. Maybe you read about it. They skipped. The next one should have been NU, but pronounced new. They thought, well, the people just think it's a new virus. And the next one is XI. Well, that's the name of the Chinese. He wouldn't call himself an emperor, but that's what he is. And of course, they wouldn't dare use his name. So they skipped to Omicron. They skipped that. Very interesting. So anyway, on Thursday, they announced that this new strain is raging in Africa. And so Friday, they announce it Thursday that it's in Africa raging. On Friday, the governor of New York, which has replaced one, a man, this one's a woman, but the one that she has replaced is under criminal investigation right now. And so what does she do? She places the state of New York under a state of emergency because of this announcement on Thursday. The very next day, she places New York under a state of emergency for something that has not even been found yet on our shores. That strain, unless there's something new in the news today, which I have not read, it's not even here. And I can just see the leaders of the world are drunk with power. Drunk with power. And this is why I say I believe this is another small picture, maybe it doesn't seem so small, of the coming tribulation period. Because notice Revelation 17. Revelation 17 and verse 12. The leaders of the world are drunk with this power that they declare. Revelation 17, 12. The Bible says, and the ten horns which thou sawest are what?
Ten kings,
which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have what?
One mind.
So these kings have one mind with the beast, one mind with the Antichrist. And of course, people throw out all kinds of names like Bill Gates. You know, there's all kinds of ideas that he wants to depopulate the world. And maybe he does want to. But anyway, his name gets thrown out often. George Soros, his name gets thrown out often because of all the nefarious things that he supports with his money. Sadly, George Soros is a Jew, but he's an illustration of a Judas, sadly, selling out his own people and the free people of the world. But so there's certain names, Jeff Bezos, all these very wealthy people, Zuckerberg. People don't trust these people. I don't trust them either. But people do not trust these people. They're very wealthy and very questionable in what they do and what they're thinking. But what we are seeing happen to this world is bigger than Bill Gates. It's bigger than George Soros. It's bigger than the Prime Minister of Australia. It's bigger than our president. It's bigger than the Prime Minister in Canada. What we are seeing happen, there is no one person upon this earth powerful enough to move the hearts of all the world leaders to follow them. Who are they following? It's Satan is who they are following. That's what this verse tells us. They've received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their what? Their power and strength unto who?
The beast.
That is what we are seeing. Yes, you may see many evil people that are very wealthy or in very high places doing evil things, but the one behind it is Satan and his coming Antichrist. And what is going to, why is he gathering these leaders together? Why is he moving them to declare that they have power, which they don't have really, but are taking it anyway? Well, what's he going to do, verse 13, with this one mind? Verse 14, these shall make what? War with who? The Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. There is coming a horrible tribulation time on this earth of 7 years. And you know what? No living person is going to be without excuse, because they're seeing right now a taste of what it's going to be like in the tribulation period. People who are drunk with power and who give that power over and give their minds over to the evil one, Satan, to control people. Well, what's the protection? What's the way out? Well, verse 14, they're going to make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Well, this morning Jesus is calling. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Lord is trying to call out the people of this world to repent of their sin and receive Christ while there's time. Can you imagine living on this earth in the tribulation period? Could you imagine being lost and living in such a time where all the leaders of the world give their power over to one evil, evil man who is totally controlled by Satan? Well, that's what unsaved people are facing. That is what they're facing. May the Lord help us to reach them. The Bible says there, as I mentioned there in verse 14, the last part of it, they that are with him, with Christ, are called and chosen and faithful. This morning, if there should be any here that have never been saved, Jesus is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He came through a miraculous virgin birth. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, on the cross. He died, he was buried, but he rose again in victory, because the wages of sin is death, but he paid the wage with his blood. He paid the wage with his blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11. He paid that price. His blood was sinless. Death could not hold him. He conquered death, and he wants to save everyone. If you're not saved here this morning, please come and receive Christ. And as Christians, let's be faithful. We don't know how short our time is. We don't know. So let's be faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, the time is short. Please help us, Lord, to get out your word while there is time. Lord, please rebuke the devil and his angels. Lord, please help these people to open their eyes to the truth. Help them to turn from the darkness to the light and allow Jesus Christ to save them and transform their lives and give them true life, a real life of purpose. Have your way in our hearts, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.